Italian panel speakers called Fonica, F-O-N-I-C-A.
Not seen them before?
No, never. Didn't even know they existed as a company, but, you know, lordy, lordy, what a sound, because I've owned a lot of panels in the past, including Maggie's, Sound Labs, you know, Quads, Apogees, you name it. But these things.
I didn't know you'd owned so many panels.
Oh, yeah, I owned heaps of panels.
Oh, you're addicted to them. You've had every. Well, that's all of them, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
We are back, Not an Audiophile, the podcast, episode 37, season 2, and today, primarily, it's the show roundup, Melbourne Hi-Fi Show 2025. Are you craving incredible sound? For over 47 years, Len Wallace Audio has been guiding hi-fi enthusiasts on their audio journey. They're not some corporate machine, just a tight-knit crew of audiophiles and entertainment lovers obsessed with great sound. From precision turntables to immersive home theatre systems, they handpick gear that delivers. Stop by the store in Lane Cove, Sydney, Australia, or visit lenwallaceaudio.com. Len Wallace Audio, where your passion finds its sound. We're here with David Carrazza back in the studio, the Not an Audiophile Studio Centre, Studio One. Wrap up of the show, the Stereo Net Melbourne Australian Hi-Fi 2025 AV show or something. I shouldn't joke about the name, but do you know what it is?
It's the International Melbourne Hi-Fi Show, or the Melbourne Hi-Fi International Show, or is it the Melbourne International Hi-Fi Show?
I tell you what, whatever it is, it's definitely international, yeah, because and it was definitely big.
It was wonderful, the amount of international guests we had there. Yeah. I was really happy.
Yeah, it was. It's the Melbourne Hi-Fi Show as far as the locals are concerned. Indeed. It was the 2025 edition at the Pullman Hotel, as it has been for a number of years. It is a pretty good venue for a hi-fi show. The bar is pretty good, but the rooms, I don't know. I thought I heard pretty bloody good sound this year.
Yeah, I agree. There was a couple of rooms that actually caught me by surprise when I walked in. I thought, gee, that's really lovely sound.
I agree. And we were going to talk about those rooms. Would you like to talk about your individual experiences first, David? I also want to mention that we had the whole team there. We had yourself, very kindly came along, and Brad Serhan, who also was there perhaps for his own business reasons as well, as he had his products there with his partner, Morris. But Brad very kindly also roped a couple of these luminaries of the hi-fi industry into interviews, and he did one himself as well. So that's coming up in the future. And, of course, my far superior half, Sharon, was there assisting with all of the actual work. So it was a three-man, one-woman effort. Now, back to the show. Wow. I just thought it was great. I think Mark Rushton and the StereoNet team did a fantastic job of organising it. He's gotten very good at that. Not that I think he's ever run a bad show, but this was this is slick. You know, it's world class, and very impressed.
And look, I think even more importantly, it has a really nice cross section of types of gear and affordable.
Yes.
Gear. So it went from entry level, like, gee, what's this hi-fi stuff all about, all the way to the vastly extraordinary pointy end of Step This Way, sir, $200,000, sir.
Yeah, or, in fact, yeah, $200,000 absolutely for one piece. Mm. There were a number of million-dollar rooms.
Oh, yeah, easily.
So let's start at the bottom. But not the bottom necessarily as far as performance. I'm not sure that you heard these little loudspeakers, but the VAF DC2X, I think they're called, their new entry-level speaker, which I guessed was $2,500 or $3,000, apparently $1,699. Well, clearly that's a mistake, so that's too cheap. I think it's even got a real wood veneer box for that. So made in Australia, real wood veneer enclosure, $1,699. Clearly they've either worked out how to build speakers for nothing, or that's a bargain. That sounded pretty good too. Mm. To the other end of the range, what was the most expensive thing, do you think?
I think the most expensive thing that I laid eyes on was the DCS stack.
Yes.
At $500,000.
Yes, a $500,000 streamer DAC?
Well, basically,
it does stream as well as DAC.
Yeah,
it?
And it's their statement piece. And I was speaking to Ali from DCS, and allegedly they've made 100, but they've sold 50 already globally, and 2 in Australia, which boggles the mind at $500,000 a piece.
It does. It does. It's that's a piece to skip from $1,699 bookshelves loudspeakers to 5 box streamer DACs, mono DAC, 2 of the boxes. One has left channel, one has right channel DAC in it. Reclocking, streaming, what have you. It's
it's the state of the art as far as digital goes. No
and
question.
Ali will flesh out the ideas behind that in a future interview. We spoke, both of us, to a number of people. I spoke to a few more people. You spoke to another person. Brad spoke to someone. We've got lots of interviews coming up in the near future. They're not necessarily related to what happened at the show. They are just interesting interviews with very interesting people. So listen out for that, folks. Back to the adjudication. Would you like to start with... We didn't listen to everything.
No.
It's impossible. The show is now big enough, even though we were there for 3 days, that you can't hear everything properly. The caveat is that there's no best in show. I mean, I've seen people go, oh, this is the best sound of the show. I don't know how you judge that, because everyone's got a slightly personal taste version of what's
absolutely
great. There are things that I enjoyed more, than others. Do you want to start with what you enjoyed the least? Because we're going to save the best for last, right? That's what
We kind of do. Look, there wasn't, in all honesty, there wasn't a room I walked into and thought, oh, my God, I've got to get out of here. This is terrible. There were rooms that I thought, you know, not for me, blah-de-blah. Do I remember them clearly? And I'm not being evasive, but the question is just that, seriously, the good rooms have kind of burnt there.
They're the ones you remember.
Yeah, they're the ones I remember. And there were quite a few good rooms, much to my surprise, rooms that I would have thought would not have tickled my fancy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I would say the ones that impressed me less have good sound reasons for doing so. I think that the sound gallery / Audio Connection room, the ballroom, was a brave choice as far as sound quality. The room itself had a great vibe. I mean, it had all of this amazing equipment in it.
Oh, the gear was magnificent.
And amazing people in it. I mean, there was representatives from around the world.
Oh, yeah. We had heaps of, fantastic luminaries who were there.
Yes.
But the room was a bit of a compromise, I think.
From sound quality perspective, because it's a huge space, and even though it had huge systems in it, from Wilson, Estolon, Lynn, and I always forget the name of the speakers on the other wall, but it was powered by some very nice components, which are, I'll have to check my photos. I should have perhaps done that before the show. It doesn't matter. Everything in that room sounded just a touch lost.
Yeah.
If you did sit down in front of it, pretty close, was pretty good, but obviously, everything in that room was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And
yeah, but look, to be fair to the guys who, the effort poured into that room was just phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely.
As much as you try to get good sound out of a massive room like that with 4 or 5 divergent systems, because don't forget the Devialet stuff was there too, I think it was there as like, here it is, we've got it. You cast your eyes on this. It was more of a showcase.
Yeah,
thing.
No, I enjoyed that room.
Yeah, so did I.
But you had to, forgive it a little bit.
Yeah, of
acoustically,
course.
it's a disaster. Mm. I mean, it's a room you'd never put a system like that in without fixing it. And plus, if you had a room that big, you wouldn't have the little Wilsons. You'd have the big ones.
Indeed.
That's not to say what are you going to do? I think their idea was great. I think they went past the idea that we're going to try to wow people with the sound quality of this equipment at this show, because it is of such high quality. It needs to be set up properly. You can't even really do that at a show to some degree, I think. Mm. And so really it was a lot of the more affordable gear. And when I say affordable, I mean still not entry level, that in fact shone, I think. Do you want to talk about, David, the things that shone that really
got you excited? There was a couple of real surprises, stuff that I had biases for and stuff that I knew very little or nothing about. Like, I'll start off with the stuff that I knew very little about. And I walked in and went, oh, my God, you know, this is really interesting. In no particular order, the JBL Summit Room with their new Summit speakers. They had the babies there on the stand just running through a streamer. And I got to tell you, sometimes when you walk into a room and there's an audio system going and you have this involuntary grin on your face, you know that something's right.
Absolutely, yeah.
The speakers were very interesting. The system was playing, now don't laugh, a big band, you know, kind of from 30s, 40s big band stuff, but a Japanese big band.
Yeah, okay.
So a genre I would have never consciously have chosen, but it was bloody excellent. And so then I asked the gentleman to play a couple of tracks that I chose, and I just thought, if any speakers I've heard at the show had life with, you know, in 72-point Helvetica, all caps, bold, underlined, it was these things. They were alive.
Yeah, they were. In fact, I walked in behind you, I was because I harbour a mild concern about the balance for me personally of some JBL loudspeakers over the years. There's nothing wrong with these. They're exuberant, as you allude to, and yet they do that with some degree of restraint. They are not, they're not fingers in the ears material like some from the 80s. So,
yeah,
really impressive. Yeah, and I don't think particularly pricey.
No, I think the memory fails me, but I think they're around $30,000 or slightly under. I could be wrong, but that's not a lot of money for speakers these days.
They sounded like music. Let's
just
say
that's exactly what I thought.
They absolutely, similar vein, the Wilson Benesch room is one that I remember because Wilson Benesch, lots of carbon fiber, lots of interesting cabinet ideas that should work, but I've never really heard them make music like today. Today was probably this day last week. Helcro power amplifier, Helcro amplification, full stop. So Australian amplifiers, English loudspeakers of some exceptional quality, and yet making music as well. Very fine levels of detail, very accurate, very dynamic, very musical, very clean. These are all things hard to get to combine together. Did a great job, I think. Yeah, very, very good sound. Price tag. Irrelevant. Most of us aren't buying it, so I don't know how much it costs. But the point is that if you do spend the money, you could have something really exceptional, something exciting to listen to.
Yeah, it was really convincing as a musical artifact. They were playing some light. I think it was possibly Baroque stuff when I walked in. And then I walked in again and they were playing some female vocal, the staple of hi-fi shows. I don't say that with any disrespect. It's just it is what it is. You know, most things sound okay with female vocals. But they were...
Well, I think the speaker's got to be pretty well resolved
being
in the design department. Because, I mean, you know, upper harmonics are falling right into the tricky crossover region, I guess.
But these things resolved the musical piece.
Yep.
I can maybe count on one hand, at the max two hands in my life that I've heard a speaker do that. They were really something else.
Okay. So we're on the same page there?
Yeah. But they had the Helcros behind them, and the Helcros and those were just an insanely synergistic match.
Yeah, so it would seem. Absolutely. And, in fact, the thing that perhaps I was reacquainted with during the show is, and I think the reason why the sound was better this year was System Synergy, probably, because the acoustics of the hotel haven't changed. Mm. Probably more people brought treatments with them, I think. When I say more people, I mean not the customers who walked in with a suitcase full under their arm, but the exhibitors, and but well attended.
Mm.
Particularly Saturday, almost too many people. So very impressive. Friday was a busy day. Earlier start than normal on the Friday, I think, was a success. It was a pretty busy day. Some say Sunday was a little slower, but, you know, it was Sunday, and there's also stuff going on in Melbourne that day that probably didn't help. The other point I was going to make was, let's have a break, back in a second. March Audio, fantastic amplifiers. Alan March has been on the show a couple of times. He's a great guy, very, very smart cookie, and he manufactures a range of amplifiers and loudspeakers using Purify components in most cases, which we all know are extremely high quality. So check out March Audio, great sound, brilliant build quality and design, and in fact, I believe there is a new preamp, which is a ground-up design of their own, coming out from literally a clean sheet of paper, marchaudio.com. And we are back in the studio with David Carrazza, myself, Andrew Hutchison, wrapping up the Melbourne Hi-Fi Show 2025 with our very much personal thoughts. They are literally what we think. I mean, admittedly, we've both been in hi-fi forever, and music and what have you, related to sound quality, and I guess our opinions are worth something, but still very personal. Okay. Other rooms of note. I've got plenty here.
There was quite a surprise. Another surprising room, again, in no particular order, was the Radiance room. And Goran had a pair of Italian panel speakers called Fonica, F-O-N-I-C-A.
Not seen them before?
No, never. Didn't even know they existed as a company, but you know, lordy, lordy, what a sound, because I've owned a lot of panels in the past, including Maggie's, Sound Labs, you know, Quads, Apogees, you name it. But these
I didn't know you'd owned so many panels.
Oh, yeah, I owned heaps of panels.
Oh, you're addicted to them. You've had every, well, that's all of them, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, as anyone who's owned these creatures knows, they're a devil to place in a room because the back wave has phase cancellation, et cetera, et cetera. So getting good bass out of them
is important.
Is a tricky thing. Yeah. But these guys were full range and active, no less. Tool of the devil, I say. No, not at all. And they were making sweet music, and they were sounding like big dynamic speakers. So they had that open air aspect that all panels have, but with the grip and authority and the muscularity of a dynamic driver, which befuddled me when I walked in. So I had to sit down and have a listen to a few tracks.
Indeed. In fact, I've got notes on those, which basically say, so not only are they fully active, but they've got a remote control and they've got room correction. I wonder whether that's helping. Made in Bergamo, near the base of the Alps. So what a nice place to live, but that's another story. Sweet, sweet, delicate sound I've got written here. Lots of space.
Yep.
Very consistent response vertically. Sit up, stand, sorry, sit down, stand up. 29,000 for the big ones that we heard.
Yeah, look, I'd have them in a heart.
That's thing. AUD. And they therefore, were you know, what's that, about 3,000 American dollars or something? Yep. It's, you know, it's, interesting. That was when you and I were travelling together briefly, and we listened to those.
Yep.
We then walked next door and heard, according to my notes, probably a name system with Focals.
Oh, yeah, we did too. That's the one with the Revox B77 Mark III.
The Revox B77, the new one.
Yes, yes.
Shall we say what we thought of it?
All right, I'm going to piss a lot of people off.
Go your hardest.
It's an answer without a question.
Yes.
It was a lovely, it's a vanity statement from Revox, and I'm sure there'll be people who buy it at a mere 37,000, whatever it is. But if everyone's cognizant of what's happening with the availability of media these days, especially quarter-inch tape, it's just a positioning piece. It's a lovely positioning piece, but
I have another opinion.
Yeah, please do.
I love it.
Oh no, I do too. But it's just kind of like
I love it. But if I was to have an old open reel machine, because I'm of lowbrow sort of, you know, what's the word? I just love Tascam and TX. Sorry.
Well, the old what was it? The old Technics 1520 open reel.
Oh, God. They were the pinnacle. That's the machine. That's the prettiest open reel. You know,
Is it Skylab Audio in the United States is selling them refurbished now for $30,000 US?
Yeah. Well, I actually, I Yeah, I know where there's one too. I know.
Yeah, the original in that kind of dark olive colour was just insanely beautiful.
Yeah, the guy that's got it. Knows,
but anyway,
well,
yeah. So B-77 Mark III
doesn't know what to do with it. But needed. He did know exactly what to do with it, but unfortunately, his family does not. Now, moving right along.
Yes.
Why is my? Hang on. So quite a bit of dredged up detail is my comment on that room. Nice stereo placement.
Mm.
Yeah, very good sound in that room. And of course, the Focal name sound is a bit more precise. It's a bit more, you know, it's got a bit of tappity tap. It's, you know,
it's fun and engaging.
Yeah, I enjoyed that room. And of course, I'm a bit of a name fan, and I hadn't actually seen the new components in the flesh much. I think they look all right. We then skipped along, did we? We didn't skip.
No, not with baskets under our hand, a la Dorothy, no.
To the next room or next somewhat room. Further along.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure whether the next room was DeVore or was or the Graham Audios, but it doesn't matter. Let's talk about both. Or, yeah. In fact, the Sirhan Swift room. Let's say it was the DeVore room. A different kind of sound again. So we had the very natural, very spacious sounds of the panels. Then we had the more precise sound of the Focals. Then we had the DeVores. Now, driven by, interestingly, a first watt pass amp,
mm-hmm.
which I'm not sure how many watts it's got. I think it's 5. Some say 10. Doesn't really matter. It's not much power.
Yeah.
I was never aware that the power amp was so gutless, as some people would say. I mean, it was played quite. Bill McLean, who is the importer in this country, played the system quite loudly. I would say, not loud as in nightclub levels, but
yeah, it was
not,
a decent
not quietly.
Level. Yeah.
No sense of lack of headroom or anything
Correct.
Like that, and no sense of strain. Very sort of easy to listen to. Coloration, not as much as maybe you'd expect. First time I've listened to the 096s in a room I'm more familiar with, I kind of liked it. What did you think?
Yeah, it was very, it was a seductive sound, I thought.
It was seductive, yeah. You're very easy to listen to.
Very easy to listen to, and I can understand why people would absolutely be bewitched by that combination. Maybe not for me, because I like full range, lots of dynamics and stuff like that.
Yes.
But I can totally understand why these things sell.
Yeah, I very nicely made, and actually, you know, really, in the context of what was at the show, not particularly expensive,
no.
System, and right in there. In fact, value for money, it sounds like a silly thing to say about, I think, a $25,000-odd speaker or whatever, and I can be corrected on that price, because things have a habit of going up in the last few years. Maybe they're a little bit more, but they are very well made. Made in the US, obviously, I liked them. I mean, I'm a bit of a fan of that the paper cone thing, you know. But I also see that I'm hard to please. I've always got to have two stereos. I've got to have that sound for late night. You know, really super
gotcha.
Enjoyable, relaxed listening.
Totally.
And then
that's
I want
my
the
point.
Precision of a full active
yep.
thing
yep.
in the middle of the day to wake me up.
Yep.
Well, the other way around it should be, but it's not, because I'm usually asleep in the middle of the day. So Graham Audio. See, now there's something I wanted to hear. These are the ones with the slot-loaded bass driver.
Yeah.
5.5s, I think they are.
What did you think?
Well, you seem scared to go first.
No, I've got no look of trepidation upon my face at all.
I want to like them because I'm a BBC engineering fan.
Mm-hmm.
I've grown up on that recipe, if you like, the way that the designed by a committee at the BBC sort of. I feel that the people who worked at the BBC in those days in the 60s and 70s were literally just a room full of geniuses. So, yes, you can, if you design a horse by committee, apparently you get a camel. In this case, I just think you get a racehorse. I think when you consider, This is an early 70s recipe.
Mm-hmm.
How does it sound that linear and that wonderfully musical? They were designing the chart recorders and an anechoic corner, not even a proper chamber, I'm sure. I thought they were delightful. Well, what did I say? Okay, here's the notes. Easy, fun, and a bit of colour, I wrote.
Yeah, look, honestly, the thing is, again, going back to a couple episodes ago about cognitive bias and things like that, I walked in and I thought, oh, Jesus, these are out of the arc, just visually.
Visually. I think they're hilariously nostalgic. And
well, they are. I love the look of them. But, you know, all that kind of goes away when you sit down and you listen to it and you think, oh, okay, yeah, these are really doing a great job.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's a touch of DeVore.
Yes, indeed, there is.
Because they're a big baffle and big cones. And actually, yeah, almost different flavours of a similar thing. I couldn't say I prefer one to the other, to be honest. I enjoyed them. And, of course, we are talking loudspeakers here. I've kind of forgotten what electronics was on them, which, I mean, what does that say about? We are really talking loudspeakers, aren't we? This harks back to a previous episode where I tried to lay out, in fact, I think it was the last episode, where I lay out that the biggest differences or the smallest differences in sound are due to certain things in my so-called hi-fi rant unfiltered. Never a rant, really. Can't be bothered. And too old. And the reality is the loudspeaker is going to have the biggest effect on the way the system sounds.
True.
Ivor will not agree. Never did. Now, where are we? What else did I have here in my notes? Spectraflora. I'm not sure that. Did you get in there with me to the Spectraflora room? Now, we went in there for a reason. There's two reasons to go to the Spectraflora room. You go in there for Steve's, the designer's, dry wit and general demeanour, which I find enjoyable, the way he loves to pause gently before answering any question. He knows the answer. It's purely theatrical. His new smaller loudspeaker is yet again presenting an alternative way for a loudspeaker to sound. It's the sound that he likes. I say good luck to him. It's interesting. I thought the small speaker, the newer one, is very, very good. I say well balanced. Slight for me, and I've told him this. Slight lack of bass, perhaps, for me. People who know my loudspeakers will know they tend to have too much bass. So maybe that's just me. But it's a very and beautiful sense of the placement of instruments in the soundstage was a delight.
Oh, the dispersion on those things is magical.
Yeah,
I agree.
So definitely worth hearing. An alternative appearance, of course, throw a bit of grill cloth over them and you won't even know what they look like. Definitely worth a look. $18,000 for his new speaker. And I mention him also because he's a new player in the Australian manufacturing market and he's given it a decent crack and has some interesting ideas. So good luck to Steve there. And I thought they were performing well in that room. What else did you hear? Because now you went off on your own. And heard what that treated your ear kindly, sir?
Well, if we can literally and metaphorically go down a step or two, there was a big surprise in the Sound United room. They had a pair of little Polkar 200s,
yes,
strategically placed in the middle of the room, and the guys obviously did their due diligence with room nodes.
Okay,
And they had a Denon, I think, around 5 or 6K integrated playing through them, and I used to sell those R200s, so I know pretty much what they sound like. But they were sounding very dynamic, very muscular, beyond the size of their speakers. Mm. So if you wanted something that was very inexpensive, that was pretty dynamic and fun, in refinement, that you can't do that at that kind of price level. But boy, oh boy, did they sound good.
Yeah, they do. That range of Pulse is super value for money.
Mm.
And for anyone starting out in hi-fi, get a listen to them. They're sold in every second hi-fi shop around the country, so they're not hard to get a listen to. They are, and they're sold in every second hi-fi shop for good reason. They are great value for money, and they are a lot of fun. But Polk always was a lot of fun. The Polk balance back in the day was slightly fruity in the bottom end and rich, and a lot of fun. Yeah, I agree. And probably continuing on the tradition of a slight lack of sophistication through the rest of the range. And I don't mean that as a negative. It's just it's a fact that the difference when you start throwing money at a loudspeaker design is you're going to get better performance in that area because you're going to have a more complex crossover with fancier drive units and a better built box. You can't get that for how much? $2,000?
No, it's under $2,000. I think they're about $1,200, $1,300. It's silly. And, you know, if you get them on a special, it's under $1,000, which is just like, you've got to be kidding, take my money.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, here's a system. You can build a fantastic system based around those for $2,500 with a streamer. Oh, yeah. Use one of the recently reviewed Weem Amp Ultras and a pair of those. So a grand total of $1,800. There's your stereo. Does everything. Plug your TV into it. I don't know whether the Amp Ultra does that. Does it have?
Yeah, it's got HDMI.
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah. Yeah. What am I? Sorry, I'd set it up at home. I can't even remember my own reviews. Yeah. I mean, actually, there you go. I mean, that's the two best value for money products in the country, right? Really?
Yeah. I don't think there's any contention about that.
No. Okay. Well, there's other great speakers around they do shine. And, you know, those other brands didn't turn up at the show, so they don't get a mention, sucked in. So is that too harsh?
No, not at all. It's you've got to be in it to win it, and you've got to be there. The problem with this industry is that certain manufacturers and importers and dealers think that, you know, everyone knows about all that's available. And, you know, if you walk into a shop and you don't have brand X and – you know what I'm trying to say? There's a lot of people out there who aren't like us. They're not in the industry. They're not aware of who
not
sells what.
Not soaking up every brand and every fine detail of each product. They will know about things that come flying at them.
That's called marketing.
Yes. Do more of it, folks. Okay. I have a couple of other thoughts. Australian manufacturers, there was tons of them at the show.
Yeah, it was a good representation.
Actually, I do want to talk briefly about our own Brad Sirhan's room. Mm. I've written here a delightful balance of attributes of the FU2 floor stander, otherwise known as the U3, isn't it?
Yeah, look, there's something beguiling.
The floor stander.
They're just done right. I've got not much to say about them, but they're one of those rare speakers on the planet at any price. They were using Boulder amplification, I think.
And the Boulder all-in-one streamer amplifier unit, which is a pearler. It's not inexpensive, but it's a marvellous machine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never heard it sound bad.
They're exquisite speakers. They just are.
Mm. And they are... They do fall into the trap, though, a little bit like some speakers I've sold over the years, where they don't have an obvious, you know, star ingredient. There's no hero element to them. They are very, very good all-rounders, so they do lots of things very, very well. And, you know, maybe you need to have a second listen to them to realise just how easy they would be to live with. So there you go. That's sounds slightly conflicted that Brad's on our team at Not An Audiophile and we're raving about his speakers, but what are you going to do? I think they're $15,000. They're not crazy money. Maybe a little bit more. Oh no, I think that's what they are. 15,000 AUD, and they are really good.
Well, as a postscript to that, if I can add to the Australian flavour of speakers, there. Honestly, the Richter room. With the new...
Just getting to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm stealing your thunder.
Your no.
Yeah, the Richter room was a glorious surprise, but, you know, every year the Richter room sounds good. And the new Dragons, they're top of the line. You want a full-range speaker with dynamics and bass extension in spades for under... They're under $10,000, which
I've got
insane.
It written here. They're $7,995 a pair.
Yeah.
Not Radio Shack pricing each. I've written real wood curved cabinets, real wood veneer curved cabinets. Terrific value for money.
Correct.
Incredibly linear. detailed and sweet. Try making that work. Martin Gosnell's the designer, under the guidance of the current owner of Richter, Brian Rogers. What a team. They should be very proud. That is a delightful sounding loudspeaker. It's, I don't think it's got much, is there anything wrong with it? It's got a dome mid-range and they made it work.
Mm.
It's beautifully integrated with the other drive units. There's quite a few drive units on the front baffle. They've made it work. It's very hard to do that. Yeah, completely impressed. Yeah, yeah. Fantastic job. Glad you liked it as well.
Yep, I did.
You've got to go. I'm going to do some other wrap-up by myself because we are short of time, which sounds ridiculous, but we do need to get this episode out. Otherwise, who cares about a show in 3 weeks' time that was 4 weeks ago? Couple of other quick mentions, though.
Yeah, please.
OAD,
go.
Ultra Fidelity.
Oh, Miss, can I say something?
Yes, go.
The technical engineering award for the show for me goes to OAD.
Oh, yeah.
Like by far and away the most staggering engineering I've seen at a price point that is just...
Are you talking about his new integrated?
I'm talking about any of them, the pre, the power. I mean, this is kind of Nagra level of engineering for way less than Nagra money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, so John showed me... He had the new integrated on display.
Yeah.
OAD, by the way, make amplifiers, but also make open baffle speakers, and the only ones I've ever heard that sound any good, by the way. So moving back to the amps, he had a bit of Perspex over the top of it. You could see inside. He said, "As a technical person, what do you think?" I'm just looking in it, going, as I wave my right hand at a Nagra in the workshop here today with the lid off. It's that quality, like you said. It is as well thought out inside. I said, "What's that, 15 grand? He goes, "No, eight. I'm like, eight? Why? Like, it's ridiculous. I don't know how he makes it for eight, let alone sells it for eight. Oh, yeah. It's not some box with some stuff off AliExpress bolted into it. This is his ground-up design.
Yeah.
Oh, it's stunning, and John needs to give himself a good shake and work out what it really costs to make that and put the price up to reality, because otherwise he's going to have orders literally for hundreds of those things from around the world.
Oh yeah,
and he won't know how to make them all.
Well, back when I was in manufacturing 10,000 years ago, I did a quick cost of goods estimate on the chassis because it's milled out of a aluminium billet.
Yeah,
and I would say
is it? Is it billet?
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh. Yeah, the sides are.
There's lots of solid
I'm not
machine.
Saying it's a unibody piece.
No. Yeah. But it's, it's screwed together out of lots of very high-quality machine
billet pieces. Serious machine stuff. Yep, and that would have at cost a few thousand bucks. So the pricing, I think, is deliriously cheap for what it is.
Made in Australia, stunningly good. And, of course, the power amp has giant VU meters. I think you need to get a listen to that. Bash down John's door. He has a website with a lot of technical stuff on it. If only he had a little bit more marketing on it, but anyhow. If you can wade through the technical stuff, because the guy is a genius, of course.
Agreed.
And so he loves to wade neck deep in that sort of stuff. And their website, does look a bit like that. But wow, what a result! Yeah, you've got to get a listen to that. And like I say, not too lightly, his open baffle loudspeakers are very, very good, very warmly balanced, very musical, a pleasure to listen to, and I think under $10,000. So. Any other quick thoughts on stuff that just stood out, David?
Oh, yeah. Again, I'll never get tired of listening to the Doman turntable.
No, indeed.
I don't know, I haven't heard the new Wilson Benesch monster thing that's come out, but honestly, hands down the finest turntable I've ever heard in my life.
It actually is.
It's not there. It's just bullshit good.
Yeah, it's okay, this is the way it strikes me in most configurations. It's super fast compared with other turntables.
Correct.
It just starts and stops on a dime. It's immediately obvious. Somehow everything on it seems to track a bit better. It's a bit cleaner. It produces great stereo on when I've been able to sit in the sweet spot. I couldn't say enough nice things about it. And then, once again, made here. I don't know how he does it. I suspect that the machining may be related to where John gets his done. I don't know. I know he uses, as per our episode when John was on back in the early days, he uses a company that is renowned worldwide for super high precision machining. I mean, Mark did share a little thing with me which I think I can pass on.
Please do.
He said that he would sell more turntables if he put the price up. Now, I don't know what that says about the world, but he has had people say to him, do you seriously buy a $100,000 or an $80,000 or $150,000 turntable based on just the price? Shiny it is?
But, well, yeah, once you're in the luxury market, that's all that really matters.
Well, then, I mean, his looks beautiful though, right?
That's exquisite.
He said there's a few people he knows he's lost a couple of sales because it's not over $100,000.
Because it's too cheap. Yeah. I know. That's just sinful.
I mean, it's just odd, isn't it? And, of course, the reality is in this country it's whatever it is. The dearer one is 100, 120 or something. I mean, of course, with our fairly weak shekel that we have at the moment, you know, it's a bargain overseas.
No, it is,
so, yeah. I have other details which I'll pass on in a quick 10-minute rant after you depart to get your tiler to retile your bathroom or whatever you're up to this morning on this fine Sunday. Hey, thank you, David, for dropping in.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to the show. Thanks for your insights. A pleasure again. And we will have you back on the show very soon.
Really appreciate it, Andrew. And listeners, don't forget that we've got a whole bunch of fantastic interviews we did at the show, and they'll be being released over the next few weeks.
Yes, they are. The first one, well, probably in 2 weeks' time. And thank you again for availing yourself to do 1.5 of those. And I was going to say one other quick thing is that you should always, you know, like and subscribe. Apparently it's what you got to say when you have like a podcast or a YouTube channel. It's important that
it's
you put that in.
It's different, isn't it?
They say that people won't do it unless you ask them.
Yeah.
I feel like you need a good show and then they'll want to subscribe. I think we've got a pretty good show, so you should subscribe.
Yeah, and on that lovely note, I'll bid you adieu.
Thank you, David. Speak to you soon. Hey Now Hi-Fi specializes in creating personalized audio experiences with brands to suit all needs and over 3 decades of experience. Jeff from Hey Now Hi-Fi can help find your sound for your life. Have a look at the website now. Not right now. You're listening to the podcast. Later. But soon. Turns out David's Tyler is running late, so so he's still here. Any other rooms, David, that...
Yeah. Look, honestly, it all comes flooding back. The funniest incident was I walked into Audio Marketing's room and the lovely Tim there had the Triangle Actives French speakers.
I keep hearing about these, yes.
Of course, the main business, I guess, was primarily looking at the musical fidelity stuff there, which is, you know, very impressive. Couple of turntables, all very good.
Well, the new Vista.
Yeah, 25 years on, we found some more of these tubes.
The new Vista. All jokes aside, sounded pretty good though.
Oh, yeah, bloody excellent.
Back to the actives though.
But the real, I think, one of the stars of the show. This is lovely when you go to shows. You're not expecting something, and something delivers more than you even realise it could. Tim was all cock-a-hoop because he knows I generally like active speakers. I'm very familiar with different actives. He said, oh, you've got to have a listen to this. And he played these – you're going to have to forgive me, Tim, because I've forgotten the model number, but the new Triangle Actives.
Mm.
They're around 5K. And lordy, lordy, do they have some life in them.
Yes.
And they're using WESA as a wireless protocol, so no cables, just AC.
Yeah, okay.
You know, kind of following the foots of Bang & Olufsen and others. Finally, WESA's out there. And did they sound alive, but really quite dynamic for their size, ruefully dynamic for their size. For a lot of people, if they want a fun, no-nonsense plug-in-and-play active for that kind of money, I don't think there's anything else on the market. It was a real surprise.
Mm. Certainly at that show, there was no other $5,000 actives. But, the talk of the show was people going, have you heard that the Triangle actives? Yeah. No, I must go and hear them. Yeah. Oh, no, Tim's down the end of the hall, can't be bothered. It's not like that at all. The reality of that show was there was a wealth of stuff to look at. And sometimes people go, I've only got 2 hours to have a quick look around the show, like these are punters that have turned up, which is what the show is for, I guess, after all. And I have always said to people, 2 hours is certainly not long enough. How about 2 days? And people go, can I just say one thing to people? If you're going to come to the show, which you absolutely should when it's on, I guess, next year, you're not coming to this year's anymore, and it's definitely finished, and can you please allow 2 days? Because it's a 3-day show now.
Well, I think you have to. And very quickly before I depart, the one thing that we haven't touched on is the HeadFi stuff that was downstairs. I was keeping a rueful eye over the people that came in there. Mm. Generally a younger demographic, what a surprise. But I tell you what, there was some stuff down there that sounded magnificent.
I'm going to say, because I'm not a headphone guy, I didn't listen to anything. Mm. I do know there's a new Stax, the 007, which is supposedly amazing, and I wanted to listen to that, and I didn't get the time. As I alluded to, there was just simply too much to listen to, you know. And I think I also dragged the chain a bit, because you find yourself sitting in a room enjoying yourself, heaven forbid, and then, you know, you go, well, what else have you got to listen to? I mean, when you and I were doing the duo, we were listening to 3 and 4 tracks per room.
Yeah.
In reality, time is slipping past.
Correct.
And you're not really clocking it. And next minute it's lunchtime. And obviously after our 3.5-hour boozy lunch, there's not much left of the afternoon.
Ho, 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 if only.
If only. A sandwich and keep going. All right, now you can go and see your title.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
See you, bye.
Bye.
The Hi-Fi Shop is the home of quality hi-fi. Experience the best of everything from affordable turntables to not-so-affordable high-end loudspeakers. Let Alex curate a complete system for you, or have him using his technical background assist with your next upgrade. Visit in person or check the website hifishop.com.au for easy information on all of your favourite brands. Go straight to the top, speak to Alex at Hi-Fi Shop.
And I'm back. So David has gone this time. Miss Tyler's beckoning him to come and open the house up. So, look, I'm going to cover the final remaining details. We've skipped around and we've obviously mentioned all of the rooms that we really love that we both visited, but there's a whole bunch of others that notable mentions, if you like, that were still sounded great, look great equipment, and I'd like to cover some of those as well. The one that immediately jumps to mind is the Abbey Road sort of limited edition 800 series BMW, the 801. Resplendent, I should say, in its one-off finishes. I guess it's the same loudspeaker, but wow, it does look very, very cool in those finishes. If I was going to buy a pair, that's the colour I would want them in. I should also mention that we have a video up on YouTube that people seem to like of a visual summation, if you like, of the show. Of course, the music that was on in the room is playing in the video. It's not something we make money out of. It's just an example of what we saw. And it's quite good to sort of, if you couldn't get to the show, to get a quick run around of the show, some of the highlights, I guess, the visual highlights at least. And you certainly can't draw any conclusions from the sound that you hear that I've recorded with the camera. But although it doesn't sound, you know, it's clearly not distorted, but it is nice to just see how the rooms look rather than us just talking about it. So another room that I really enjoyed was the Antipodes room that had the Emotion Audio loudspeakers in, the slightly pyramidical looking units with the solid timber grill frames. That was I hadn't heard them before, and they were quite stunning, very pleasant sound. And of course the industrial design of the new Antipodes is quite striking. I'm not sure what it is with the Kiwis and designing boxes of electronics, but they do a really good job. Yeah, very impressed. But the sound of those speakers was a genuine surprise. So Emotion Audio, kind of a blandish sort of name for a brand, but nothing bland about the sound. Very impressed. The Chario Electrocompaniet Room, EC, easier to say, very good sound in there as well. I was impressed with that. You know, and why wouldn't you be? You know, they're a lovely looking Italian speaker, great electronics. From Norway, as I remember it. I hope I'm correct. I've been around for so long, and I've enjoyed the sound of those amplifiers for many years. I mean, they're largely, I guess, doing it the way they've always done it, but it's why not? It works. Speaking of doing it the same way for donkey's years, Esoteric Audio, just I've mentioned before on this show, such well-made electronics. Pretty good sound through the Eggleston Works. I was pretty impressed with that. And they had a few pieces of Esoteric Audio componentry off to one side, and you could see perhaps why it might sound good. Such beautifully made electronics, and the CD mechanism looks like it's sort of hewn from the solid. Yeah, very impressed that anyone still makes a CD mech to that quality. So some enjoyable time spent in there. The new PS Audios with the American panels, I didn't get as much time listening to those. I listened to them at the start of the show, I think on the Friday, and I intended to get back for a proper listen and didn't because the room was full the whole time, and I mean chock-a-block. You know, can I say, I just couldn't get a decent listen to them again, which was a shame. But next door, Jack from Airtight, the owner of Airtight in Japan, tube amplifiers, was running that room for Jeff from Hey Now Hi-Fi. And that was the Doma turntable room. I just call them the Slate speakers. I shouldn't call them that. Fisher & Fisher, of course, is the brand. But Jack put one record on, and it's a classic track, and I think it's in the video that I alluded to before, and it just sounded incredibly lifelike. Certainly, once again, a synergistic match there, the Doma turntable, the Airtight tube amplifier, and those speakers worked incredibly well together, made great, dynamic, lifelike music. I can guess the listener by now is going, so everything just sounded great. Well, you know, it kind of didn't, you know, like, so it's, there was another room. I don't know what was going on. I'm not going to say what the brand was. Very, very expensive equipment. Talking about synergistic, you know, was the synergy of a system. Yeah, they got it wrong. It was dour and uninteresting, and at a price tag that it should have been anything but, and it was genuinely unexciting and a bit crap, to be honest. And there were people coming out of the room saying as much, and so that's why I'm not going to say, because it doesn't matter what it was. It was not the fault of the equipment. The equipment involved is all extremely high quality, but they have pieced it together in a way that just didn't work, and they should have. And this is where I feel the skill at a hi-fi show, the real skill of the exhibitor is under test. And, you know, many say, oh, you can't get good sound at a hi-fi show for all the following, you know, all these reasons. Well, the only real excuse is just how damn noisy they can be. I mean, that is a problem for sure. But the acoustics, everyone's dealing with the same acoustic qualities in the room. They're all built the same way. They're all more or less the same rectangular shape. And look, the sound in the two rooms this particular company put on left a lot to be desired for the multi-hundred-thousand-dollar price tags. And I think if you do your maths, you can probably work out who I'm talking about, but that's not really the point. It's they need to work it out. They need to go, well, this doesn't sound any good. I mean, many people are up late at night fixing their rooms, improving them, tuning them, using random materials they can find to improve the acoustics, etc. If you choose not to try, then you don't get a mention on the show, and you will have people walking out of your room going, well, that sounds like crap, which is literally what I caught someone saying. Now, onto a polarizing room in a way, and this is DEQX, D-E-Q-X, locally made, incredibly high-performance, complicated, sophisticated DSP preamplifier combined with active amplifiers, combined with their own Class D amplification. Well, it's not their own, but, you know, they've made them using Purify modules, I believe, and I shouldn't be quoted on that because there's only so many Class D modules you can buy, and they've got the good ones, I believe. The point is that they this time put on an amazing display. Now, I've left it to last because once again there were people saying to me, "Oh, yeah, I heard it, and it wasn't that good." Now, here's the thing: these guys, they're a company of geniuses. I've used word on this show, but these people are incredibly smart, have incredible power at hand to change the sound. There's too much adjustability, in my opinion. I guess they're trying to tune the system for the room a little bit, but when I heard it, they had two rooms, one a two-channel room and one an Atmos room, and they were both stunning. There was the amount of cohesion, the lack of actually hearing the acoustic signature of the room was amazing, particularly the Atmos room, maybe by the fact that it was surround sound was particularly, you know, involving. But even the two-channel room with these, I'll admit, slightly oddball-looking custom-made speakers that they were using, which had Purify drivers in them, so they were an expensive, they were made sort of in a sandwich layer system with apparently very complicated enclosures within the box for the multiple cone drivers, which need their own enclosure internally. And I have to say the sound of those, when I heard them, was very impressive. The way they'd drawn this, I think, a four-way system together to sound as one. The only negative, and it's not really a negative, it's just an attribute of the system, was that the sound staging was quite close to the back wall. It sort of was set back. I'm not sure of the exact reasons for that, but then I think they kept messing with it because different people that I spoke to, people whose opinions I regard quite highly, had other things to say about the room. So I guess, you know, they were messing with it when I was in there and they said they'd just finished, so maybe they kept playing with it. So, but decks in previous years have I felt not offered great displays using inexpensive speakers and showing how they can make them sound better. To my way of thinking, a multi-$1,000 DSP preamplifier can be put to better use, and in this case they did just that, and it was completely impressive. So hand clap for Dex this year, showing off the real power of their very impressive products. And I think that's kind of a wrap for the show. I have missed a bunch of brands and I'm very sorry. We for a variety of reasons just cannot get to the whole show, but there are follow-up interviews and in those interviews we'll mention other things. But for as far as the quick fire roundup of what was a great show, unfortunately, that brings it to a close. So thanks for listening, folks. As we mentioned earlier, it would be much appreciated if you follow the show on whatever podcasting service you're listening on, or if you're listening on YouTube, which very few people do, but if you are, please subscribe. And, of course, you can comment on the show on YouTube, and while you're there, you may as well hit the subscribe button. And of course, there's the video, which people are enjoying watching, lots of views, and gives you that little bit of a visual sum up, as I mentioned earlier. So until the next episode, which will be an interview with someone that we spoke to at the show, and there's a handful of, more than a handful of really interesting guests, so it doesn't matter who we choose first, it'll be great. Talk to you then.